Volkswagen this morning said its corporate culture is broke and needs a good mechanic. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Top Volkswagen executives this morning released the company's interim report into how it came to pass that company designed more than 11 million cars to cheat emissions tests around the world. At a news conference in Wolfsburg, Germany, the head of VW's supervisory board, Hans-Dieter Petsch, suggested that keeping it legal is the way to go. Quote, no business transaction justifies overstepping legal and ethical bounds. Marketplace's Andy Euler has been following developments today. Andy, what was the thrust of the VW briefing?
Yeah, David, there was an interesting tone to the presser. It lasted a couple of hours. VW's chairman and CEO were on stage, had a couple of presentations. They had PowerPoints, things like that. The CEO, Matthias Müller, kept using words like clarity and transparency, something that VW is claiming its internal audit gave them, and then they're subsequently going to give it to the public. VW is also in the middle of an external audit to find out who's legally responsible. VW's chairman, Hans-Dieter Petsch, said the VW board didn't actually know what was going on in terms of the installation of this technology, said that they haven't identified any particular person responsible, but did admit they're trying to figure out if internal processes, like you said, encourage the staff to break the law. And this is actually the first time VW has admitted publicly that it goes beyond just a few rogue engineers.
All right, that it was a problem of culture. Now, Volkswagen's plans going forward, any indication for the U.S.?
They said the European recall is going to take most of this year and next year. The executives also said that an external audit is happening right now. That could last into 2017. Then there's also an assumption that there's more litigation that will be happening here in the U.S. subsequently.
And they must be worried what this is going to do to the bottom line.
Yeah, there were a bunch of questions about exactly that. They talked about the brands they had. It was funny, though, the tone was very much Volkswagen is a very strong worldwide brand, said that they weren't making any contingencies on the balance sheet, said it wasn't, it was too early to do something like that in order to deal with the litigation that is subsequently going to happen. The CEO, Müller, said he's going to be in Detroit for the auto show there. And he was asked if he would be kneeling down to Americans to ask for forgiveness. He said it's not for him to say at this point.
All right, so he dodged that. All right, Marketplace's Andy Euler, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Today we also talk with a corporate crisis expert who says VW could have saved itself, its customers, and the environment a lot of trouble if it had set up a system to be sure that lower-level employees could report trouble to higher-ups without fear of retribution. Some companies have these. If you missed this on the air, it's in the first Marketplace podcast of the day. There's been a lot of talk about just when 1 euro equals $1. Use the word parity if you want to sound cool. Many were expecting this, but it may not play out that way. Let's consult Adolfo Laurenti, Chief International Economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. He joins us live. Hello, Adolfo.
Good morning. Good to be back, David.
Yes, good morning to you. The dollar will rise or will not rise to equal a euro. What are the opposing arguments?
Well, there are two ways to look at this problem. On the one side, you can look at the growth, which is moderate to solid in the United States and still struggling in Europe, modest, decelerating. You can look at monetary policy with the Federal Reserve ready to lift off and the European Central Bank still likely to continue quantitative easing. That is a powerful argument for a stronger dollar. On the flip side, maybe we are overstating the willingness of the Fed to tighten. Maybe the European Central Bank will not go that far, in which case chances are that we are currently on a right level, and it's unlikely in this second view that you will ever see the parity you were mentioned.
All right. Now, if you're not going to Paris, Milan, or Dusseldorf for the holidays, why does this matter?
Because we trade a lot with Europe. In the first 10 months of this year, we imported almost $350 billion only in goods. We export a lot to Europe. Exchange rate matters a great deal for Americans, both as buyers and as sellers.
Adolfo Laurenti, thank you.
Thank you.
You ever go to a McDonald's late in the morning, ask for eggs, and then have the clerk say, sorry, pal, you blew the deadline? Well, McDonald's in October converted to all-day breakfasts, and early data is pointing to a success for the fast food chain. The NPD Group, this is a research firm, says all-day appears to have lured more people in the door, who then spent more. Marketplace's Andy Baxter looks at what that news could mean for McDonald's competition.
The NPD Group analyzed food receipts of 27,000 McDonald's customers in the month before and the month after the launch of all-day breakfast. NPD's Bonnie Riggs says McDonald's succeeded in drawing in some either new or lapsed customers.
We found that a third of those that came in for all-day breakfast had not visited McDonald's in the pre-launch period.
And the overall checks of all-day breakfast customers were higher. Riggs says other fast food chains may see this early success and want to follow suit. Molly Harnischfeger is with the consulting firm Alex Partners, which recently found that nearly half the consumers it polled would like to see more chains do all-day breakfast. But she says there's a big question.
Are they interested in this sort of industry-wide, or are they interested in this for specific chains that have a long-standing breakfast platform in the interest of potentially extending this?
Harnischfeger says chains that don't already have a good track record with breakfast should probably be cautious about launching an all-day menu. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And if you could tell us what you think of our new, easier-to-navigate digital portal we're testing, you can go to beta.marketplace.org and browse and search to your heart's content. Beta, that's Greek for sneak preview, beta.marketplace.org. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.